League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome, everybody, to another Kings of Anglia Fan Social. It's me, Roscoe. As always, we're live on all platforms once again. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening, watching on another day, come and join us live on a Friday night to get you ready for Town's next game, which is a big one at Hull City. I'm joined by Simon and Bono, the two fine gentlemen, discuss all things Town. And I've got to go over to Simon, first of all, the man who's come in as a substitute. Welsh Mark wasn't able to join us, so Simon got on the phone, went, my friend, I need you, and he's here. How's all things with you, my friend?
Yeah, all good. You've got to be ready at this stage of the season, Ross. Everybody's needed. You've got to be ready to step up and take your moment when it comes. If there's injury or illness in the camp, you've got to be prepared to make an impact. So, yeah, no, happy to be here.
Top man. Yeah, we're talking off air. I'm going to be basically in the McKenna role here, bringing in the players, the subs at the right time, and Simon is the man to come in. And we're joined also by good old Bono, Matt, aka all the nicknames. He's the man with a great hair, great shirts. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Ross. Hey, Simon. What's going on? Happy Friday. Are we now officially in the business end of the season, or was that like 2 months ago? I'm kind of sad that we're like 8 days away from the last game of the season, but you asked a question, and once again, I've not answered it. I'm well. I'm glad it's Friday. Looking forward to a feast of football this weekend. And yeah, shall we? It's Chris McTaggart, Queenstown, New Zealand. Matt. I won't attempt a Kiwi accent. The fact that there's a guy. No, there is an actor that's got a New Zealand accent. I might have a little think. I need to practice accents. Anyway, I've made it into the Bono show already, and that's not why
fine.
People.
That's fine, mate. It's fine. But great to have you, my friend. Great to have everyone else joining as well live. Make sure to get involved in the comments, share your thoughts, your feelings. I know everyone is nervous going into the final three games of the season. It's mad to think that we're at this point in the season already, which, you know, the season like that just goes, doesn't it? I was still preparing for the first game of the season and, you know, can't wait for the season as a whole back in the championship. We're now three games to go. But before we get into all that, today is a special day for Football Shirt Friday, which is obviously a big thing that happens every Friday. A lot of people, you know, share selfie with their shirt on, football shirt, for the Bobby Moore Fund, of course, Cancer Research, which is a fantastic charity. And I'm going to ask the boys and ask everyone as well, you know, watching and listening, what was your first ever football shirt? Simon, what can you remember? You know, what was the first football shirt you were given, you bought? Obviously, you're wearing the away kit for this season, which looks very good, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, coincidentally, my first kit was also an Ipswich away kit. It was the burgundy one with sort of black blue navy sleeves and then sort of TXU Energy on the front. And I had Bartlett 6 on the back because that was my age at the time. So that's the first football shirt I kind of ever remember having. There's a picture of me and my dad. We both got sort of matching like shirts for the season. So that was my first football shirt. It was a good one. I've bought it since I've become an adult. I found it online and I bought a kind of a copy and like I bought it again because I really like that shirt.
And of course, these days it's so easy to get kits. So I think, you know, maybe back in the 90s, even in 2000, it was, you know, obviously you had club shops and stuff, but now you've got so many retro ones coming out there. And Bono, I know you love your football shirts, and I've got a lot of people who listen to this, they love their football shirts as well. Mark Wall said mine was the 1981 Town home top, which is not a bad start. But yeah, can you remember your first shirt? Was it even a Town shirt?
I think so. I know I had an Arsenal tracksuit because I, you know, everybody supported Arsenal when I was at school. So when they won the title in 91, because the part of Bury St Edmunds that I grew up in was a bit of a London overspill, still is. Shout out to the Westbury Massive. And much to my late grandfather, who's a Tottenham fan, much to his chagrin, I wanted an Arsenal tracksuit to be like all my mates. And then my dad said to me, you need to really support your local team, son, or Leeds, like him. And got a town shirt. I got the 90, basically when we got promoted to the Premier League, that beautiful lace-up effort with the white sleeves. That was my first town shirt and the first football shirt that I can remember. Although I've got some pictures of me in my primary school goalkeeper kit from when I was about 8 as well. That was really tight back then. But yeah, love football shirts ever since. I did read something about how blokes over the age of 30, that 30 age threshold before you kill people off, Ross, how blokes over 30 shouldn't wear football shirts. But I think we should reclaim that as somebody that's well over 30 now. So, yeah. But there's just so many decent shirts about. Obviously, places like Classic Football Shirts are an absolute mecca, but like the online places. Are we allowed to mention the online places, Ross?
Yeah.
Vinted is an absolute gold mine because I think there's a lot of jilted lovers that are selling off their ex-boyfriends and ex-husbands' shirts. So, yeah, I mean, what I would say to anybody, just to be serious for a moment, is if you are looking at getting a football shirt from somewhere online, always ask for photos of the tags, because it depends how you feel ethically. You know, if you don't mind buying a fake or a kind of new issue one, that's fine. But always get pictures of tags, because there's loads of videos out there about how you can identify genuine shirts. That's actually how I picked up this one. I asked for photos and stuff, authenticated it, and grabbed myself a very rare bargain.
For the listeners, what shirt are you wearing right now, Bono?
So this is a Club Leon from Mexico. I've got their nickname written down, which is Los Panzas Verdes, which is like the green animals or something like that. They don't play in green and yellow, but their badge is annoyingly green and yellow. But the Liga MX, I think it is, in Mexico, 3 years ago, all the clubs had Lucha Libre shirts, so like the Mexican wrestling mask. And if I stand up, see.
Love that.
Yeah, that's there. And if I get close, you might be able to see, but it's got a lace-up collar as well, which is like sewn in. So, yeah, once I saw that, I'm like, yeah, buy. And it was like 20 quid. So it's the sort of thing you see on Classic Football Shirts for 200, because they made like 500 of them or something ridiculous, and you can only buy them from Mexico. So you can get stuff from people that have been abroad, bought something, and then thought, no, I've not worn it, I'll sell it. So, yeah.
There is so many people out there who are massive collectors, and some people have got unbelievable shirts, which are great. Like, they're great to see. My first town shirt was the 99-2000. Once again, the same as you, Simon. It was an away kit, and it was the orange away kit from that season. And I've got a little cute picture of me in it watering some plants. I don't know why I was taking a picture of me watering some plants in the Ipswich shirt, but. But yeah, that was one of my first ones I remembered. But obviously, I've probably had so many different town shirts through the years. But I'm so tempted to buy the Fightons white one. That just looks so good.
That is a nice shirt. I'm tempted by that as well.
Looks so good. But now we've had some great comments, though. So many people sharing their different shirts, which is good to see. Charlie, he's had a good one here. His first football shirt was signed by Jim Magill back in 2009. So not too shabby by that. But yeah. Get involved. I know it's a big thing. I come every Friday. I know a lot of town fans get involved in it. Football Shirt Friday, obviously raising some great funds for the Cancer Research, probably more fund as well. So there we go. Simon has a dog behind him.
Well, dog's come out in the background.
Got involved.
Nice appearance.
There we go. Love that. What's the name of the dog?
Milo.
Oh, I love that. Good on Milo. Milo, nice little cameo there. Boys, we're going to segue onto season tickets, because today the club announced they're sold out for next season already. which is mad. More than 20,000 have been renewed. Obviously, success brings people wanting to go to games. Obviously, this year, pretty much Portland Road has been a sellout every game, which is great. Simon, this is not a surprise because, you know, it's the golden ticket right now. People even trying to get just a normal ticket, just a single ticket to one game, it's hard to get. But yeah, this is the thing about it's your town. You know, everyone wants to a piece of the cake because we're doing so well.
Yeah, and it's not just the fact we're doing well. It's the fact it's so entertaining to watch and be a part of as well. The fact that you come to Portman Road as sort of averaging 4 goals a game pretty much every game throughout the whole course of the season. I mean, obviously that's both sides, not just town scoring 4 goals every game. But it's fun, it's fast flowing. And that's what football's all about. You want to be entertained. It's an entertainment business at the end of the day. And that's the reason why fans are coming back. Obviously it helps when the team wins as well on top of being entertaining. But yeah, as you say, it's the golden ticket for that purpose alone, really. It's great to watch and the team tends to win and you can't ask for a better kind of mix to entice fans into the ground. And obviously the club have done a lot of work on match day experience and all that sort of stuff, which is kind of the extra 1 or 2% on top of that. But the majority of it is to do with the performances on the pitch, which have been excellent from kind of minute one this season and will keep people engaged for as long as it carries on like this.
Yeah, I think we're talking off air as well, Simon, about, you know, when we were in League One and, yeah. You know, they weren't selling out as much. And that is probably the best time to get a town ticket, though, was, you know, if you wanted a ticket, you can, you know, not seeing great football or League One. But now, obviously, you probably a lot of I think even yourself, Bono, you sort of you got a scene ticket maybe only a few years back because, you know, you sort of were able to go to games on Saturdays. Obviously, you're renewed yourself. But are you pretty happy that maybe you did get that scene ticket a few years back just to, you know, benefit from now, you know, potentially Premier League football next season, but also knowing that they're selling out like hotcakes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of nice to kind of be part of the journey whilst we're on the upward curve. And yeah, whilst some of us, you know, haven't, you know, I wasn't able to commit because of work and, you know, previously working in the music industry as well. I was pretty busy at weekends up and down the country. So I'd only periodically get tickets. But yeah, it's nice to be part of it. But, you know, we welcome all comers. I think there's still a bit of a thing at the moment, isn't there, about, you know, there's always that one guy that saw something happen in the 1960s and was in a chicken run standing on a beer crate and all that. And it's like, come on, we're all Ipswich fans, aren't we, at the end of the day? You know, there's so much competition for football clubs, isn't there, up and down the country, non-league as well. You know, time, money, they're both finite resources, aren't they? So, yeah, doesn't take much to be kind, does it? No, still, if anybody wants my Huddersfield ticket, I reckon 250 quid will sort you out. I'll watch it in the pub and meet everybody afterwards.
Yeah, pretty much. I know a lot of people are probably going to do that. They're going to watch it in the pub and then they'll just come into town and celebrate, hopefully, what we hope we all dream of. Yeah, Simon, take away.
No, I was doing fingers crossed. But yeah, I mean, I think it's look, I get some people are obviously frustrated because we all support the club. Everyone wants to go to the games and it's frustrating that the ground isn't big enough at this kind of moment in time. And obviously that's something the club are looking to sort of look at. But we'd much rather the ground be as it is now with it packed to the rafters. I mean, I know doing commentary when you sort of were doing it in a half empty stadium, the atmosphere was so flat, the football was so poor, there's just nothing to recommend it. And you'd much rather the club be in the position it's in now where everybody wants to be there and the atmosphere is just this sort of cauldron of noise and can't see a spare seat in the house. It's a much better place for the club to be in.
Yeah, I know there's that talk, you know, about the Cobbold Stand potentially getting, you know, revamped and everything like that. Obviously, a success, you know, there's going to be more and more people wanting to go. And there's one comment here from Mark Wall saying, you know, the owners, let me bring it up, the owners will be thinking how we can expand the ground. Because, yeah, that's the thing. We're going to have to expand it. You're going to get, once again, we've got the new generation of the, you know, yeah, new generation, Bonner. We're losing, you know, a lot of young fans because, yeah, you know, dads were saying, you know, it was a bit of a punishment to actually go to town games. Like, Dad, do I really have to go? Yes, son, you didn't, you know, do your chores. So you have to come to watch it to your town. But yeah, now, you know, got so many new Town fans coming in because obviously they want to be part of this success.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm putting the link into the chat. I won't let me post the link to the shirt. Yeah, absolutely. It's great that, you know, I think we've mentioned it before on here, haven't we? How nice is it walking around, you know, I'm in Stowe Market, walking around Stowe Market, Bury and Ipswich, for example, and seeing kids in town shirts and not, you know, Man City, Chelsea, Man U, et cetera, et cetera. And that just goes with the whole buzz around the club and the fantastic work that they're doing in the community. Obviously, the foundation have launched something recently. I was lucky enough to be invited to that, to the launch last week before last at Portman Road. And yeah, where fans can do a monthly donation for as little as £2.50. So yeah, it's just great guns, isn't it? And it's also nice kind of like working in East London like I do. I think I work with a QPR fan, I work with a Brighton fan, loads of other clubs, loads of the London clubs. And they want to talk to me about Ipswich. And it's just absolutely fantastic. Oh, what's your boys on telly last night? You're all right, aren't you? And it's like, yeah, I've kind of been telling you that for a couple of years now. But yeah, no, it's awesome. We're going good.
We are going good indeed. And that's a great way to segue onto the next feature for the pod. Three words or less. And that is basically going to ask both of you and also the lovely people joining us, how are you feeling heading into the final three games to go? Obviously, if Town win all those three games, Premier League, baby. We're in the Premier League. Simon, what is your three words or less on how you're feeling? Three games to go. Hull City, Coventry and Huddersfield to finish it off. Oh, it's going to be an interesting three games.
Yeah, I think what I'd say at the minute is it's kind of wildly varying confidence. I kind of, from minute to minute, hour to hour, I'm kind of going up and down. I'm thinking, we're definitely going to win all three games. It's going to be like last season. We'll do Barnsley, Peterborough, Exeter. It'll be 3-0 and we'll just smash it through it and go up. And then the next day, I'll be like, two tough games, though. Two tough away fixtures in the Championship, which we're going to have to take really seriously. And we know McKenna and the players will do that. But we've got to take the game seriously and make sure we do the work for it as well.
Yeah, it's going to be... Bono, how are you? How's your nerves? How's your nerves going to this? And what's your three words or less?
Three words or less. We'll start with that. Full of optimism. Simon's so nervous, he's had to duck out for a little bit. How are my nerves? My nerves are all right, because you know what? They were kind of... Welcome back, Simon. They were kind of tempered by one of my colleagues who's a Brighton fan. And I watched them last night and I was kind of texting him saying, you know, what's it like? And he's like, you know what? Careful what you wish for, because whilst the Premier League is great and it is the promised land, the Championship League is far more pure. You know, if you're a bit of a football traditionalist.
No VAR.
No, well, yeah. Oh, God. Did you see today that the Swedish Supporters Association, well done, Sweden. Love Sweden. Beautiful country, beautiful people. Very nice cars as well, having one of those. And yeah, but I guess I'm a little bit nervous, but I kind of thinking to myself, you know, is that a bad thing? But then again, we're so close. It's literally, there's like four or five trains of thought going on, isn't there? You know, nobody would have predicted. I think I've seen that tweet 20,000 times in the last month with the ITFC hashtag. And yeah, but hey, let's just seize the opportunity. There's never a good time or a bad time to be promoted back to the Premier League when the stakes are so high. If you think it could, you know, potentially, like the amount of investment and the legacy that we could create for this club moving forward, and the ground and the facilities. You know, I saw in the week that there were some people questioning some of the Playford Road pitches, weren't they? And it's like, oh, have they gone away? I don't remember there being a hill in the background. But yeah, no, I saw somebody from the club this week actually, and I'm like, you know those photos? It was Playford Road, wasn't it? It's like, yeah, I saw the building work, boy. It's all changed. Kieran McKenney's is getting it all set. He ain't going nowhere. He's used to see the work he's doing there, boy. so, yeah, that wasn't my New Zealand accent, by the way.
No. Let's get away from that. Sweetheart Prince Harvey Davis is joining us. Good to see. Even Handsome Feathers. Handsome as well. Sweetheart Prince Harvey Davis. But yeah, three games, boys. We're going to, of course, do a big preview for the whole game shortly. And obviously, we've got some very big positive news, Simon. Kieran McKenna announced that George Hurst, Wes Burns, are set to travel the whole city. They're back. They're back on the grass. We sort of knew they were back on the grass before the two-week break. But now we know they could be on their way to Hull. I think they're actually already on the way to Hull already. They're probably there, you know, settle down, probably have their nice little evening meal. But yeah, George Hurst, Wes Burns being back, that is big, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge at this stage of the season as well. It just gives everybody that little sort of injection that they need and refreshes everybody. You think, yeah, two key players back just at the right time, just when you really need everybody to contribute. I know we were talking about before the show about everybody's needed, but it is true this stage of the season. And it's not just the fact that the starting 11 gets a boost of players coming in, but also you think then the depth that we built behind that because of the likes of Hamdi and Moore have come in. You add George Hurst into that kind of striking unit. Players, three very different kind of strikers. You can play all kinds of different styles of play now with the striking unit that we've got. And that's going to be massive for us. And sort of Wes and Amari on that right-hand side. Again, similar, but there is a lot of differences between them. And I think the fact that you've got all of those different options now kind of sorted and McKenna's got a structure, he can basically play whatever game plan he wants to play. Rather than just thinking, well, I've only got the certain players that I have, I've now got the options to change it up, mix it up, change the styles, change the personnel. And that's what you need to do at this stage of the season. And those two guys have been, I mean, with the club now for obviously 18 months, in George's case, Wes longer than that. And McKenna really trusts those players. And again, you think to real crunch games, what will the manager turn to? He turns to the players that he knows he can rely on in big moments. And in Hurst and Wes's case, he knows that those are guys he can rely on. And I don't think it'd be any surprise to see. I think probably Wes probably will start for that reason. I think George probably has been out for too long. I think that would be a real big ask for him to come in after kind of, was it 6 months without playing, a bit less than that, 5 months. To go into the starting 11, but I think I can see Wes coming straight into the starting 11.
Well, it proves once again how the medical team have, you know, improved as well. Because, you know, back in the day, you'd be lucky to see some players return after their injuries, or they just come back. But yeah, they're back on the grass. Oh no, they've had a setback, and sadly they can't play the rest of the season. But yeah, Bono, this is, you know, great news, especially George Hurst. Well, Wes Burns obviously is a key part of this team, but I thought the when George Hurst got that injury, you know, on Boxing Day against his former team, it just felt, it was a bit heart-crushing for everyone, really, especially George. But yeah, he's been a big miss. And obviously we've signed Kiefer Moore and Ali Hamadi, but he's been a big miss, George Hurst. And big boost for these final three games.
Absolutely. I hate football cliches, but I'm going to say one now. They're like two new signings, aren't they? And also, if they are involved and if Burns starts, then I think we need to officially rename the medical team the miracle team, because the kind of the category of injury that those two boys had. Have you seen George Hurst's new haircut as well? My goodness. lock up your daughters, guys, because that boy. So one of my shout out to Nick in Switzerland, he texted me a picture. And it was just like George Hurst and his new haircut. And it was just like four. I think the less said about Wes's hair, the better. Must have lost a bet, Wes. But hey, there you go.
I think we've got over that now, though, Bono, because obviously he did go and score eventually. And, you know, we just start winning games again. But there was that.
I haven't, Ross, because I'm growing my hair like Wes Burns. Look, I'm getting a like, flipping undercut and everything. And he goes and cuts it like Dumb and Dumber. But there you go. We love him. And yeah. If Wes's dad is watching, hello, sorry. Yeah, but no, it's great just to see those pictures of them practicing in that lovely practice kit. And yeah, it was sad for George Hurst, because I had a real good feeling that he was going to absolutely smash Leicester as well.
He started that game really well as well, from memory. He came off after 20 minutes, but I remember him that game. He looked really fired, really fit, and just
he did. And I think had Hurst have been fit, and I know this is like, you know, it's only sensible to make predictions after the event, but I think, you know, where could we be now had Hurst have been fit and had Burns not get injured? But we know that football doesn't work like that, does it? So there we go.
Well, I mean, it's no surprise that our sort of stickiest period in the season came straight after that injury and before Kiefer Moore signed. That was when that sort of we drew with Stoke and QPR back to back, didn't score, didn't really look like scoring in either of those games. I think we drew with West Brom in there, and then obviously lost to Preston, which was Kiefer's debut. So you could tell there was a loss of energy of Town trying to find their identity without George Hurst, because he's so integral to everything we were doing in terms of playing off of him. He's quite a unique striker in terms of his attributes, because he's so fast but so tall and powerful, with that good sort of intricate link-up play as well, that we have struggled when he's not been available, and ultimately that's why we went into the market to get Kiefer and Ali, who probably between them form George Hurst as a collective in terms of attributes. So yeah, I mean, he could be such a massive player to have, not just for the last three games, but say they do fall short. If we were in a playoff run, having George available for that would be massively important also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be interesting to see who starts tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, live on Sky. There you go. You want to know something interesting?
Go on then.
I was in Islington earlier, and I was travelling back to East London, and there was a confused lad. He looked like a nice lad. He's a confused lad looking at the Jubilee line. I was like, "You're right, mate." And he's like, "Oh, I don't know where I'm going." And I'm like, "Where are you from?" And he's like, "I'm from Hull." And I'm like, "Hull, are you a Hull fan?" He's like, "No, I hate football." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, mate. Ignore me. You are
in the conversation.
You are getting on the right train. Sorry, just waving somebody goodbye."
That's fine. I like that. But now, George Hurst, Wes Burns. Yeah, we'll get on to your predicted lineup shortly, boys, because, it'd be interesting to see. I can't see George Hurst starting. I think that'd be a bit too crazy. But Wes Burns could, though, because he's only been injured for about a month, isn't he? So, and he could have been back, you know, sooner than we actually got told as well. You know, you never know. So, we'll get on to that shortly. But as we got to the sort of midway part of the show, we'll have a nice little break here, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the strike. Simon and Bono to go head-to-head. Five questions plus a tiebreaker, as always. Obviously, the questions are linked to current news and also birthdays this month. It's mad to think it's end of April already, which is just... Where is this year gone already? 2024. Stop going so fast.
You know what's even madder? I'll tell you what's even madder. Frost on the ground and me nearly going top over bottom on the way to the station at 5:15 this morning. Jeez, that was serious. And then at midday, it's like bloody 20 degrees. Yeah. But hey,
in the morning, it is nippy in the morning. But yeah, when it gets to afternoon time, I went for a nice run this afternoon, and I was sweating very, very much so. But yeah,
what a vision.
Yeah, what a vision. Roscoe sweating after doing a nice little run. But yeah, question one. Segue on to good old Pim Bolkstein. Check out my chat with him. He celebrates his birthday this month, and he's got a nice little random fun fact about his Town career. Do you know what? He played his first and final Town game against the same side, but who was it? Was it Bristol City, Preston, or Swansea City? I was trying to think of a question for Pim, and I think I've done a few questions on him before on the strike, and I was trying to think of something different. I was like, oh, his debut was against this club, and his final game for Town was against this club as well. So I thought, do it as a question. So there we go. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, play at home. Get involved. Who'll be crowned champion? Last week, Peachy won. I actually did say to Peachy, potentially, I could have maybe brought him on for this little section to keep the crown. But maybe that's something we could do next season. You know, someone who wins it, or they stay on, basically. It's like the champion stays on until they get kicked off.
Peachy always wins, because Peachy is the absolute... is the master.
I think I actually beat Peachy last time I was on.
Oh!
So...
Check this guy out. If you beat him, Peachy, then I would say I may as well go home, but I am at home. So,
yeah.
You're good. Well, let's see. Yeah, let's see. What do you reckon, though, boys? Bristol City, Preston, or Swansea City?
I said Preston.
Preston. P&E. They're Preston North End. And it is Preston, actually. It is Preston. So there we go. His debut against Preston, and then obviously his final game against Preston. I'll quickly actually find out if there were wins or defeats or a draw, maybe. Let me quickly find it. If you care, ladies and gentlemen, some people are going, I don't care. Get to the next question.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. It was a 2-1 defeat at home. Kevin Lisby scored in the second minute, and then someone called McKenna, a Preston player called McKenna, scored the equaliser. That's interesting. But that was a 2-1 defeat. And then the game at Deepdale was a 2-0 defeat. So two games we lost. Danny Welbeck scored for Preston in that game. Because he was on loan.
He was on Sky the other day. He's got such a strange accent. Honestly, he said, like, I love accents. I love, like, linguistics and stuff like that. And I was looking at my computer, which is on my lap. I was playing Football Manager, actually. Got a very good Forest Green Rovers save going on anyway. And I thought they had like a Danish international. I thought it was Daniel Agger. And I looked up because they said Danny. I was like, oh, it's Daniel Agger. I'm like, he's only bloody Danny Welbeck. Sounded like he's from Copenhagen. But anyway, question two.
It's 1-1 then. Question two is on Velice Shimulikowski. Say that. Just about
the Macedonian Gerrard.
Yeah, I remember those headlines.
They were, yeah. He celebrates his birthday this month, and he's now the current director of football at which Czech top flight side? Is it FC Slovako? Completely butchered that. Slaven Limerick.
I love these, Ross.
Or Victoria Plzen.
Pilsen, Ross. It's where beer's from.
Oh yeah.
Not that people from Bury St Edmunds like to admit that it, you know, we didn't actually invent it, like they claim at the Green King Brewery. Shout out Green King.
Yeah, and other brands are available. Yeah. Other beer brands. But yeah, Vliče is currently the director of football of this, which top Czech top flight side. Of course, he's a Macedonian. I think he's born in, what's it called, Yugoslavia, obviously, before that got, you know. Yugoslavia. We're making up. No, he was Macedonia. It's always been Macedonia. I'm just making up. I'm just making it as up as it goes. But what do you reckon, boys?
Slaven Liberec.
Ooh. Liberec.
I've had a pen problem, but I'm going FC Slovako.
Slovako is correct. It is FC Slovako. He actually finished his career there as well. Little fun fact. And funny enough, Slaven Limerick Town played them in the UEFA Cup. It would have been the UEFA Cup back then. I think Joe Royal. Under Joe Royal. Not Sir Boy Robson. What's his face? Yeah, just Sir Boy Robson. But no, Joe Royal. I think that was actually his first game in charge, if I remember rightly. No,
I'm looking up FC Slovako.
Yeah, game in charge.
Would you like to know? Oh, let's have a look what their nickname is.
What's his first game in charge? Against Slaven Liberec. Yep, what's that, Slovako? The nickname?
Yeah. I can't find their nickname. Not that anybody cares. Apart from me.
Don't think they've got one. Because I'm looking at their Wikipedia page. Sometimes you don't always trust that. But normally it says nickname, but no. They founded 1927. If anyone cared. But so that's 2-1 Bono.
Yes, come on.
2-1 Bono. Question three is on John Nolan, who celebrates his birthday this month. Currently at Macclesfield, although I don't think he's played recently for them that much, but he's still there. But yeah, he celebrates his birthday this month. How many goals did John Nolan score for Town in 70 games? Obviously
70 games?
Yeah, that's amazing, got that many.
Yeah. I think his first spell, or his first like few seasons. Obviously, then he just sort of got injured, didn't he? Unfortunately, like, he weren't a bad player. I thought he was not a bad player. Like, there's a few good performances, but then, yeah.
I'm gonna get another pen. Hold on.
Okay, I'll just.
This was given to me from somebody that went to Hong Kong. I can see why they gave it to me.
Well, while Bono has a little thing there, let's sort of drag this question out. But yeah, he had a bad player, was he, Simon?
Yeah. He obviously was part of that big rebuild summer, wasn't he, under Paul Hurst. So, I mean, arguably came at just the wrong time, really, when had he been in a more functional team, we might have got a bit more out of him. But I remember him, I was kind of thinking of some of the goals. I remember he scored a header away at West Brom that season when we were relegated and equaliser there. So, yeah, he was never the same after his injury, was he? I mean, he never really came back from that injury once he got it. So
I think he didn't really settle here either, because obviously he's Merseyside. So I think he signed the same. There was a dual signing with Toto and Sciarra. That was a lot of they were both from signing from Shrewsbury.
Quite a lot of money as well, wasn't it? From memory, it was a couple of million, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah. So, it just didn't work out. But he's really dropped into non-league with Macclesfield. I think they get promoted. I think that's like the seventh tier or something like that. John Nolan. What do you reckon, Bono? What do you reckon, Simon? Then 70 games. How many goals did he score? If you get a bang on, you get a lot of points. If you get closest, you get the point. What do you reckon?
I put four.
Four?
12.
Well, no one's got a bang on, but the correct answer is a nice little round number, actually. It's 10.
Oh. 10 goals
in the 70 games. So Bono does get the points to make it 3-1. Simon, oh, your crown could be over very shortly. You've got two more questions. Question four is on Guran Endor, who celebrated his birthday recently. I think he turned 40, but...
But did he?
Yeah, that's the big question. Because he actually came out, actually, and did like a story about... he admitted
he did, didn't he?
99% of players reduced their age. I was about to say where he's from, but that is the question. Where was he born? Was born in which country in Africa? Was it Cameroon, Ghana, or Senegal? Yeah, I was about to say he said 99% of these players. Normally I would say the country, and I was like, oh no, don't say that. That will ruin the question straight away. But yeah, Guran Endor. Yes, on loan from St Etienne. That was such a random signing.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't wait to get players on loan from... Do you remember Jimmy Juan?
From
Monaco. That's going to happen when we're in the Premier League next year, boys. We're going to get a load of like youth players from Dortmund or something sexy like that.
Yeah.
So we can fall in love with them and never see them again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like what's going to happen to Amari? Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, what do you reckon? Obviously, Simon, you need to get this right, and hopefully, Bono gets it wrong.
We shall see. Yeah.
Yeah, I put Senegal.
Senegal.
Ah, he's got it right. So yeah, it's 4-2. Going into question five.
I thought that would be a trick question, Ross, and I tell you for why. Because a lot of African players are born in one country and represent another. There's a few famous ones. Adebayo was born in one country and played for, I think, where his dad was from.
Togo.
And then a lot of them are actually from France. As well, born in France,
yeah,
African parentage. Anyway, question five.
Question five is on Liam Rossignol, obviously the manager of Hull City. Had a loan spell at Town back in the 2009-10 season, one of Roy Keane's signings, actually. What squad number? Time for squad number time, Bono. Simon, maybe as well. What squad number did Liam Rossignol have during his loan spell at Town? Was it 22, 24 or 28? I'm going to quickly find out his stats. So I think he played regularly. He was on loan from Reading.
He played well for us. I remember him that season.
Yeah.
I don't remember his squad number necessarily, but I remember him because he was just a good all-round fullback, wasn't he? Quite dynamic getting forward. And
31 games he played. He scored one goal.
Who was the goal against? Because I can't remember.
Barnsley.
That could be
a future question. No, I'll remember it. I'll wait until you use that question in like months or maybe years' time. Liam Rossignol scored one goal for Town. Who was that against? But yeah. Just to get a point on the board, Simon, what do you reckon?
I'll put
28. Bono, to make it a full house, because that means if you get it right, 24. I'm just going to quickly actually find out what the answer is, actually. The correct answer is actually 22.
See, I thought it might be that because I like the fact that reserve right backs sometimes wear 22 because right backs are normally two.
Yeah.
But alas, not.
No, it isn't. So, but you have won though, Bono, overall. As always, you've got the question, the big question. You're going to gamble, of course, gamble responsibly and all that jazz. But yeah, you're going to give Simon a chance to steal. Remember that show, Golden Balls, Split or Steal?
I don't actually.
I call it TV. That
was great.
Good show.
What's his face? Remember, what's his face? The guy who hosted it, the bald guy.
Can't remember his name, but I know.
Matty Boy. Was it Andy Parsons?
No, it wasn't. I'm going to get up quickly. What's his face? Is it Jasper Carrot? That's the one. Jasper Carrot, he hosted it. But yeah, it was a great show. Basically, you had two people at the end. You had basically, if you want to split the money or if you steal the money. So if you both did steal, you don't get any of it. If you split it, if someone puts split, and then someone goes steal, the person who puts steal takes all the money.
Yeah, because you have to like work together in pairs to build the money through the show. And then at the end, someone could just steal the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a famous one, isn't there? Because obviously you talk, don't you? You have a little chinwag and go, yeah, you know, oh, I could put this money to this and blah, blah, blah. I went, oh, if you do this together, we can split it together. But I think there's one lady who was like, yeah, we'll definitely split. And then she was like lying through her face and she's basically still. And the guy was like heartbroken. He was like, bloody hell, you said all this lovely story. But yeah, Bono, are you going to split or steal?
I'm giving Simon a chance. I'm feeling the pressure because if you beat Peachy, then he's kind of like really good. So let's give him a chance. I'm a fair guy.
Of course, you have to get it bang on. And it's on David Stockdale, who I remember you. You actually did a little tweet about it, Bono. And I thought, I've got to do this question. Also, I did a story on him recently because he got let go at York City. He was their head of recruitment and then a player as well. But yeah, he just got let go. And I thought I'd do a question on him. So, David Stockdale had a loan spell at the club.
His website is fantastic. Yeah. Stu highlighted that on a podcast about 3 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, it's pretty. The guy's got some front. You've got to give it to him.
I'll give it to him. But yeah, how many clean sheets did David Stockdale keep during his 18-game loan spell at Town? So, Simon, to get that bang on, take the steal. 18 games. I'll quickly bring up the season as well. I think he was on loan from Fulham, if I was right. Or was he Fulham?
I think it was Fulham, yeah. Because that was the season where we won at Barnsley away, wasn't it?
That was his final game for the club, that 5-3. So that's mad.
Didn't keep a clean sheet in that one,
though. Definitely not. No, he definitely didn't. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2011-12 season he was on loan from. So one of it would have been a Paul Jewell signing, wouldn't it? Yeah, on loan from Fulham. He's what do you reckon?
I put six.
Ooh, okay.
Don't think it would have been many.
No. Bono, what do you reckon? Just to play as well. Five. Someone is bang on. Doing Davina here. And that man is Bono. It is five. So Bono has won overall. Five clean sheets in 18 games. My friend, you are this week strike champion. Beating Simon, who beat Peachy last time out. So you are the champion this week. How do you feel about it?
I feel fine. I feel fine. I'm just looking at David Stockdale's website. Sorry. The man, the athlete, the philanthropist, which is easy for me to say. And like, there's like a load of sections on it.
He's got to think of your career after football. I think that's one some people don't think.
The businessman.
Be interesting to see where he ends up. Because how old is he now, David Stockdale?
He's got to be 40, isn't he?
38.
I could say.
38.
Then nearly, yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably got one more big season in him. Because obviously goalies, they can go on until whenever they want to. You know, Buffon went on to... Is he still playing, Buffon?
No, he retired, didn't he?
Now he's quite okay. How old is
How old is Stockdale?
38.
He's not finished. He's only 38. Sorry. I'm giddy because I beat Simon, who beat Peachy.
Yeah.
Which is like how us as Town fans, when Ipswich beat Reggiana in the Anglo-Italian Cup, and I think they just beaten AC Milan in the Coppa Italia. So it's like, if we beat them and they beat AC Milan, then we're better than AC Milan.
Well, we beat Leipzig in pre-season, so that was
Innsbruck Cup winners. You'll never sing that. Yeah, I want to see some of the ultras make some stickers, Innsbruck Cup winners. Because I think QPR have got, I think they won the Ibiza Cup in 2015, and I've seen some of those Ibiza Cup winners. You'll never sing that. It's got to be done. Get blue action on the case.
Yeah, get involved. But the Innsbruck Cup, well, it feels like a lifetime ago since pre-season. Madness. You know, I went out to Austria and it was good fun. Very hot though, very hot in Vienna and Innsbruck as well. But yeah, now we're here at the moment to talk about the whole City game now, boys. A nice big preview on this. 8 p.m. kickoff, which is just ridiculous on a midweek, obviously. If it's a midweek game, then you go, yeah, fair enough. But on a Saturday, 8 p.m. to Hull, ridiculous, Simon. It's ridiculous. Obviously, it is on Sky. What success, you know, you get different. If we go into the Premier League, there will be loads of random kickoff times and days and stuff. But 8 p.m. on a Saturday, my friend, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not a great kickoff time to have. I mean, it's, as you say, with success comes movements for TV, and you play less and less at 3 o'clock every weekend. Like, certainly as Town fans, I've been used to pretty much my whole Town supporting life has pretty much been exclusively 3 o'clock kickoffs, because we never threatened to do anything. So it was just, well, no one cares about them. So we've got to take it with obviously that pinch of salt that we're being chosen for those TV slots because people want to watch us for the first time in a long time. And what we're doing is genuinely interesting to broadcasters as well as just us as Town fans. But obviously from a fan perspective, it is a really awkward place to get to and time, obviously trains and stuff getting back on the weekend can be tricky. Coming back from Hull, I mean, it's partly why I decided not to go in the end, because it's just such a long way. And then obviously you've got to think about getting hotels and all that sort of stuff. But if there's a win, I'm sure there'll be a big party on the whole dockside. Come 10 o'clock in the evening, the Town fans might be making their voices heard late into the whole air. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting game, and hopefully Town get the 3 points that they desperately need.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game indeed. Hull, of course, needing points themselves. Still got slim chances of getting the playoffs. I think if they win the next two games and hopefully other results go their way, they'll be in the playoffs. I think they're 3 points away from Norwich and West Brom. So really, it's a must-win game for them, Bono. And I want to quickly bring you back, a bit of flashback. We spoke about this on the main pod and we've done a boot room as well. But one of the best performances of the season for Town was against Hull, wasn't it, at Portman Road, that 3-0 win. Wes Burns, Connor Chapman, Marcus Harness with a new haircut now, obviously. Going to look forward to seeing that in the flesh. But yeah, that was a fantastic win back in October, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think I probably wasn't alone. A little bit kind of nervous about Hull because they play really nice football. Rossini is another one of these young modern managers that speaks very well and sets its sides up really well. And yeah, we schooled them that day, and the fact that they had to go for it, like you boys talked about today on the main pod. Yeah, John Walk's here. I saw John Walk last week at the cash point at Tesco's in Stowmarket. I was like, who are we? Anyway, yeah, it was, we've not established whether it's actually John Walk though, have we? On YouTube.
Well, we need to find out. I'll have to send him the link one day and see if he comes on.
Yeah, that would be evening, John. Yeah, that'll be amazing. But yeah, I think the fact that they have to go for it plays in our hands. But you know, like you said, Ross, some of their players just look fantastic. But let's hope they have an off day. And I think they will, because I think the tractor's going to turn up there in northeast Lincolnshire, as I used to call it. And I think we're going to, I'm not going to say we're going to smash them,
but I think we'll win, and it'll be like, oh God, now we've got to get Coventry out the way, and let's do it. Sadly, and I know you're all keen to know, sadly I won't be there, because when they sold out the tickets, a friend of mine at work said, do you want to come to Millwall with me? And I was like, yeah, go on then. He's actually a Brighton fan. So I'm going to Millwall tomorrow. I'm going to Bermondsey. And if I can get back to Stratford quick enough, I'll be home to watch the Ipswich game on TV, like a true fan sat in my armchair. Let's just hope that Don Goodman and David Prutton, I'm sure they're lovely people, and I'm sure other clubs love them, but once we're in that Premier League, it'll be nice to get some kind of half decent pundits, because I dare say, boys, we could probably do better than them. I don't know. So sorry if that's the sound of a law case, of a lawsuit.
It feels like there's an agenda, you know. I think because we're doing stuff that not many people thought we were going to do, and I think they think, oh, it's little old Ipswich, they're not going to be here for the rest of the season, and now we're 3 games to go. Yeah.
Surely, like Ross, from a journalist with your journalist hat on for a moment, buddy, that's a far nicer and better story, and it's something that people buy into when a team that, you know, by rights shouldn't be anywhere near where we are in the league. The fact that we are, it's bloody good. It's romantic. It's, you know, people buy into that kind of stuff, don't they?
Different.
Yeah.
Not the same.
If we were 16th, you know, like, you know, I thought we wouldn't be on bloody Sky.
No.
Or even Sky, let alone bloody Sky. But
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, but obviously, you know, I predicted 10th at the start of the season. I thought that was a nice, you know, first season. Right now, you know, I that was my favourite word a few seasons ago, like dead rubber. We're just going into dead rubbers now. But no, 3 big games. Hull City first up, Simon. You already sort of mentioned earlier about Wes Burns starting. I'll put you on a spot, really, but I assume you already know anyway.
I've got our thoughts, I mean, Kladkin goal is obvious. Davis. I mean, I do remember George Edmonton came in for the home game because McKenna wanted his pace against specifically Liam Delap and I think Aaron Connolly. And he did pretty well that day, but Burgess, I think, has been playing too well. So for me, he'll get the nod there, and Luke Wolfenden as the right centre-back. I'd go to Nzebe at right-back because Jaden Philogene plays on the left and he's top quality. And I think you want your best one-on-one defender against him in terms of that full-back. And that for me is Axel. Probably so it'd be Morsi and Massimo in the middle with the 2 weeks break. That'll do them good and get them refreshed, and hopefully they can stamp their authority on it. Broadhead from the left, as I said, I think Burns will play on the right. Question then is Chaplin or Hutchinson in the middle? I think McKenna will go Chaplin. Purely, again, as I was saying, in terms of big games, you take the players that you know can do a job in those environments for you, and Chaplin, to be fair, is the consummate professional for doing that. So I think he will start as the 10, and then Kiefer, I think, will start up top again with the break having done him good, hopefully, and he can go back to sort of that battering ram bully that he was, well, he sort of early on in his Town career, but have seen kind of less of as he's kind of gone through, because he's, I think, feeling the pace and the few aches and pains, and hopefully those have all recovered. With the threat then of Alhamadi and Hurst to come from the bench, which will frighten the whole defenders massively, I think, having seen those guys on the bench. Also, they've had to play midweek as well, so there will be some tiredness in their camp. So you think that freshness that we could bring off the bench could make a real difference against what will be at that point very tiring legs against our squad having had a 2 week break. So I think if we're anywhere near in the game, sort of 20 to play, I think that'll be us in a really good position.
Yeah, I think they played on Wednesday night, so they haven't had much really recovery time. I know they only went to Coventry, so it's not too far to travel, but, you know, probably Thursday was more of a recovery day. And then, today would have been their main training game, ready to prepare for this game. And obviously, I don't know what they'll do on a Saturday, because obviously it's 8 p.m. kickoff. They may have, I don't know, they'll do a light session potentially, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. Obviously, their 5 games are beaten, Bono, Hull City. They've got some good players, though. They've got some really good players, some danger players. Simon's already name-checked a few. They've got Fabio Cavallio, who actually, funny enough, and AJ pointed this out, he's actually played against Town already this season. He was actually at Leipzig at the start of the season. He actually played in that Innsbruck Cup match. And I remember looking, I was like, oh yeah, it's Fabio Cavallio in one of the pictures I took. And obviously got recalled and, of course, joined Hull in January. He scored 10 goals already since signing on loan from Liverpool, which is just madness. Yeah. But what do you reckon, Bono? How are you feeling? Do you think Town can get that win? Obviously, as we already said, if Town win the next three games, are up. Are they going to get that first win here at Hull City?
Yeah, of course we can. What we all worried about is McKenna's at the wheel. Simon stole pretty much everything I was going to say, including the starting lineup, man for man. But great minds think alike. I think the camp seems settled. Massive, massive boost, like we talked about earlier, having Burns and Hurst back. And yeah, just it's going to be all right. Be interesting to know how everybody's getting back from Hull, because I dare say there's a hell of a lot of people that would have booked a super advanced train tickets and won't be able to get back now. But yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Let's just... Yeah.
Score prediction. What do you reckon?
Simon, you go first. Or have you already gone? I can't remember.
I haven't gone, but I was going to say you can go first.
Okay. I predict... Boys, it's going to be an absolute feast. It's going to be 4-1 Town. But we'll concede first. We'll concede first and we'll think, here we go. We thought we ironed out these problems. And then we're just going to smash it. Chaplin's going to score a wonderful, wonderful goal. We're going to see a goal from a set piece. Burgess. Well, in fact, no, because he's not playing, is he? We predicted Edmondson. Yeah, I think I can see Hurst coming on for the last 20, 25 minutes. Spice it up a little bit. Wouldn't it be lovely to see a Burns cut back to Chaplin? Because Chaplin tries so... He has a lot of attempts at very, very good goals. He obviously scores a lot of very, very good goals. But yeah, 3-0 Town, Barnsley Mark 2. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, baby. That will be amazing. A full away end chanting Massimo. I could see a Massimo masterclass. Just Morsy just being an 8.5/9/10 again. Where would we be without our boy?
Yeah. So yeah. No, so 4-1 win. That's a big scoreline, Simon. That.
Yeah. I'm not feeling quite as confident as that. It has to be said. I think my kind of head is saying it'll be kind of a high score draw 2-2, but my heart's saying 2-1 Town, and it will be a game. I think the game will be less open than it may look like it might be. I think obviously everyone's predicting this kind of very open contest, but I could see two teams kind of cancel each other out, trying to be on the ball and trying to control it a little bit, like you saw with sort of Arsenal, Man City. But I do think the bench is where the game will be kind of won. The game will be won from a Town perspective, given, as we're saying, Hull have had a lot of games that they've been playing. The tiredness may catch up with them. Obviously, if Norwich and West Brom win earlier in the day, that would all but end their playoff chances as well. So the ground could be a little bit flat going into the game. I think from a Town perspective, that's got to be the hope from our side. But even so, I mean, in some ways, as Bono was saying, you might want them to need something because they're going to have to go for it. That a draw does neither team any favours. So somebody will win it. And I think Town's freshness from the bench will be the difference. And we'll win another game late on 2-1 Town win.
Oh, I like that. And that's a good point, actually, because obviously when we kick off, we already know how Leeds got on. Obviously, Leeds, actually, as we're
kicking off
right now. Obviously, Leicester as well. We're playing tomorrow. Who are Leicester playing? Although, I'm at this stage, I said it on the main pod. But
Leicester are gone.
Yeah, they've won the league, and they've won the league. So, you know, enjoy that, Leicester. Enjoy that. They've got, you know, they've got the team to do it. They should have done it ages ago, but they sort of failed, didn't they? But that's a good point, though. Going into that game, Hull will know their results in terms of their rivals, and obviously we'll know about Leeds. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're nearly over the hour mark, so let's wrap up as always. But Bono, Simon, any other business? Bono, you unmuted yourself, so I have a feeling you want to say something, so take it away.
No further business. Just obviously hope everybody's all right. And obviously heading into the game full of cautious optimism, aren't we? But I think we'll be all right. But you know what? If we don't win, it will still be all right. So, yeah.
I don't know.
it'll be all right.
It'll be fine. But as a Town fan, you'll be thinking, oh, God, how we blown it. Have we blown it? Our playoffs destined for us. I think there was actually one comment about the three words or less, how they're feeling. Someone went, no playoffs. So they're thinking.
That's confident.
They're confident. So it's just good. But yeah, obviously we've got Coventry after this straight away. So two very tough away games. Obviously Coventry, they're out of the picture now. They're pretty much, I wouldn't say they'll be on the beach, but they'll be very much, they've got nothing to really play for.
And so again, tiredness in the Coventry camp as well with that big FA Cup semi-final run, then a midweek game. Well. It'll be really hard for them to raise themselves for that game, to be honest. I mean, I think if Town get through this one, you could definitely see them winning the next two. Obviously, Huddersfield at home, last game of the season, could be relegated by then, again, if results go against them. So, yeah, I mean, we've just got to keep the faith. And it's nice to finally have a game that's going to be entirely in our control, because it felt like a long time since that's happened. And actually, we can be in control of our own destiny rather than watching Leeds and Leicester from afar going, what are they doing? It'd be nice to Town finally have control of what they're doing again. It feels like it's been a long time, and I think we all need to kind of see them playing again, because it's been a long time since that Middlesbrough game.
It's so long ago. Yeah, it's in our hands, boys. It's in our hands. I've actually got a question, not a question, but a message here from Tom. Town better play well. He's going to his local Spanish bar watching, converting some Celta Vigo fans into Richard fans. Hopefully it's not the day where, yeah, you go, come on, watch my team play, and then we lose. And you're like, oh, and they go, you told me they're good. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, Tom, the boys do you proud on Saturday.
Bono, that must mean Tom is in Galicia. So, yeah, northern Spain. I got a friend whose parents are Galician. So, yeah. And they always have nice shirts, Celta Vigo, as well.
Can we sign Pablo from them?
Yes, well? Pablo
Love Pablo. I want like a Spanish like player again. We've had a few, haven't we, in the part. We had Cito as well. Spanish. But I want another. Yeah, Tom's gone. Yes, he is there. He is based there. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, Tom. And thanks for everyone joining us as well. Thanks, Simon and Bono, for joining me. Thanks for listening. If you're on your way to Hull while you listen to this, hope you've enjoyed. Hope you enjoy the game. If you're not going to the game, of course, follow the coverage with us as always. Me, Stu, and AJ and the Blue Army will be there cheering on the boys. And as always, shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery. Follow us on all our socials and Kings of Anglia on the Twitter, on the Facebooks, on the YouTubes, on the Instagram, on the TikToks and all that sort of stuff on the Facebook. Check out Bono and Simon as well on their respective platforms. Shout out to Simon, who does the great work with Hospital Radio. Obviously, you're going to be doing that for the Huddersfield game, Simon. That's going to be...
Could be fun. Could be very fun, yeah. It was last season at Exeter, I tell you. It's a good game when you're sort of talking through the promotion on the pitch, yeah. So let's, fingers crossed, we can get through the next two and have another moment like that. Be unbelievable.
Indeed, yeah. Bring on Portman Road for the Huddersfield game. Yes, I think the season potentially could be over for the regular season next Saturday. But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. David, Steve, Charlie saying some shout-outs in there. Thanks, Bono. Thanks, lads. And thanks for the show, guys. It's our pleasure to bring you a live fan social every Friday, 7 p.m. Join us live next time if you're listening another day. And bring on. It's on our own hands, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the final three games. And let's see our Town get on. Bye for now. Thanks again for watching and listening.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.